Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight. A reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to Nightlight. I think I'm going to have to shorten that intro a bit. It sounded a bit pompous to me. I still like, you know, I would prefer to just say, hi, this is, you know, have him say, hi, you know, this is Barbara, make up your own mind, and here she is. But I think I'll probably be voted down by that just a little bit. Anyhow, that was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the light workers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We all go by different titles, names, labels, if you will, watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and gosh, that list, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call creation, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jeannie and Ray Booker today, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, and if you'd like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Jeannie's in the chat room, and she'll be doing the screenings. So if you have questions, private her, because I won't be able to answer your questions. I can't multitask as well as some of the hosts that are out there. Ken Quiet Hawk, that wonderful voice, can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to experience more of him. I'm at barbaradelong.com, and Ray is at healingrays.co.uk. He is an amazing man. He is gifted and talented and gentle and humble and sweet and insightful and accurate, and he is multi-talented. He does just about everything, from the mundane to the magical and back again. And it's such an exciting time for me to have him on, because you don't always find people that are as gifted and talented as he is that are as willing to share as he is so willing to share here. He is so kind to come and share time with me and play with me here with my show. He's big stuff over in the UK, and that he comes and he shares time with us is such an honor. He does all sorts of magical, wonderful stuff, and I think I'm going to get him to tell you a little bit about some of the new stuff that he's doing because it is quite spectacular. So, Ray, welcome again to Nightlight. We're so glad you're here.
Hello. I just listened to your introduction there. I'm thinking, has somebody else entered the room?
You know, I have found that introductions are the most embarrassing things in the entire world.
Absolutely. I'm really, when I do my events, I'm pretty pleased that I introduce myself, that I can keep it simple.
I've been on a couple of radio shows where they've just read my bio, which is, you know, it's my bio. It's stuff I've done, and I'm embarrassed by it. And I basically really want them just to say, hey, you've heard about Barbara. Here she is. Make up your own mind. And that I'd be happy with.
That's the beauty of, to a certain degree, of my, anonymity, but because I've got a mundane job as well. It's the beauty that I can go do the mundane job during the day. And it's like sort of Clark Kent, really, isn't it? Superman.
Do you have a cape? Do you actually wear a cape, too?
I wear my underwear above my tights, yes, it's true.
Oh, my God. You were telling me, you know, before I forgot that we were doing a show and forgot to call in, you were telling me about what you're going to be doing lately.
It's really exciting because for a year or so, I haven't really done much in the paranormal investigation department with the public. And myself and a friend who said he was going to come in the room tonight, I don't know if he has, we're looking at doing a ghost hunt at a very secluded spot on the North Yorkshire coast. And it's connected with a famous sea captain around this area, the famous Captain Cook. Now, I don't think we'll be catching Captain Cook in this particular location, but we've already come across one or two spirits on a little walk round I had last night with the owner and some of his staff. So it was very interesting from that point of view. And I always like new challenges where I'm doing something different. As I said, it's been a year since I've done any major stuff because I was the resident medium for a big hotel up in Northumberland, the Schooner Hotel, which is supposedly Britain's most haunted hotel. But it's been a year since I've been doing any with that. So this is a nice new opportunity and fresh feels for me as well. And it's not the 1.5 hours drive I'm used to. It's a half hour's drive and I'm home sort of thing on a night time. So I can cuddle up in bed after a long, hard investigation, hopefully.
Oh, I know what that feels like. I you know, for those that don't know, you know, much about Captain Cook, he was extraordinarily famous. He was a British explorer and navigator and a cartographer, and he did so much exploration that it was phenomenal. And he was quite a man.
For the amount of time he stayed at sea, he spent at sea. You know, it was. You could class it as half his life. He was actually on the ocean.
Yeah,
so,
and he charted New Zealand and Hawaii and I mean he was all over the place and.
Oh yeah, I visited Canada, Vancouver Island, and lo and behold, you stood with a statue of Captain Cook, who's was born literally around the corner from where you live, and it's, you know, all this great thing. We have a Captain Cook museum up just about 2 miles down the road from me. We have Captain Cook's monument top of the hill next door, literally next door to me, which is what we call the North York Moors, and it's just all these references to Captain Cook in the area. And obviously, I'm travelling across the North York Moors to do this investigation at a place called Captain Cook's Hotel.
Wow.
Which it's an 1800 hotel, so it wasn't built about around about its time, but the village which it's in, which it stays, is a very, very old seaport. It's got a lot of smuggling history and seafaring history associated with it. But because Whitby was a bigger port and the likes of Middlesbrough, where I'm from, is it was a bigger deep water port, obviously these places thrived because of the iron ore trade and all the rest of the things that were going on in this area at the time.
Well, you have a plethora of sites over there that you can date so far back, you know, to organized civilization, so that you know you can get back to the 1400s and 1300s, and it's documented, and the United States, you know, while we have Native Americans and obviously, you know, they have spirits and stuff like that wander around all the time. There's not the drama like I mean Henry VIII and you know
when I was over there when my friend Dick was alive we visited Hertz Castle in California there and the old story about Americans and Texans and all that so everything's big I just say you call that a castle that's a backyard in Britain.
I know.
It's somebody's backyard.
They don't have, although there is the Biltmore Estate in North Carolina, and that estate was originally 123,000 square miles. Now, that's pretty substantial.
That is, yes. That is pretty big.
And you know, the house, it is the biggest privately owned house in the United States. It's got 250 rooms and 43 bathrooms.
Yeah, that would have been Henry VIII's Winter Lodge.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but I have to say, our indoor plumbing is better than yours.
Yes, our indoor plumbing those days was out the window.
I know. I mean, but, you know, I've always had an amazing fascination for castles. And, you know, sometime, you know, after I've made my third or fourth $1 million, I'm going to take a couple of months and really hit the European castles because there's so much magic and mystery connected to them.
Even I still find these really, really nice places in the middle of nowhere with bits of history attached to them. We didn't know about. Even on my local doorstep, there's so much history in this area and going back over the ages from, I mean, I was, there's in this, what we call a trackland estate, and right in the middle is a listening post for World War One. And they actually made it a historical monument, so they had to build around this listening post
on
this really modern estate, and it's just literally a plaque in the middle of nowhere. So it's good that we preserve our history, and obviously you preserve your history as well.
No, we don't. I have to say that recently I have become more and more aware of a lot of really historical sites here in the United States that definitely go back, they go back 1,000 years. And they haven't been preserved at all. They haven't been acknowledged or honored. We have, you know, we've created highways through them. Over 1,000 years ago, the Cherokee Nation had a civilization that covered most of the Northeast and down into Mexico and throughout the Yucatan Peninsula. It was a huge, huge nation. And basically we have managed to destroy it and ignore it.
I visited Bryce Canyon. I don't know if you heard of Bryce Canyon.
Yeah.
And they have up there one of the most amazing collections of arrowheads. And it's only half the collection. Now, you've got to think on this. This is just like, it looks like a ranch, a set of small, like, western town with a great big motel opposite it. And this has got the oldest collection of arrowheads in. But the other half is in the Boston Smithsonian Museum, which, you know, And I'm thinking, you know, they've got one half under massive protection, and the other one's part of a shop.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing because they have been discovering sites in the United States that have artifacts in them and everything that go back sometimes. Well, you know, first of all, 500-600 years before Columbus hit the United States. He definitely was not the first one here. And what boggles my mind is the stone chambers and everything that my husband Patrick and I looked into. They predate, many of them were carbon dated to 1,000-2,000 years ago. Now they're historical, and people are destroying them to make patios. So that I really don't believe the people in this country seem to think this country started in the 1700s.
Yes, they
and
do.
This country was here, and there were people here for thousands of years. There were societies that had, I mean, where in Ohio, where the Serpent Mound is, that was a huge, I mean, there were pyramids there. There were all sorts of things there. Do we preserve them? Okay. And yes, the Serpent Mound is a park, and it has been preserved. But nobody pays attention to it.
No,
and,
they don't.
And when you talk about antiquity, everybody immediately thinks of course, the castles in England and the pyramids in Egypt. And they totally just don't even give a thought to the fact that there are similar artifacts here. And you know, not the castles, of course, but there are
still history. There's still history.
Exactly, and I think there are a whole bunch of snobs someplace just saying, well, everybody was primitive before we, you know, wrote a constitution, and therefore none of it counts. I mean, all of the stuff up in Canada, beautiful, amazing stuff that the Eskimos and the Inuits, you know, I mean, there are traditions and histories here that go back thousands of years, and nobody pays attention to them. So
it's the march of progress within the states, isn't it? Really, the march of progress, civilization, as they like to call it. Define what civilized is.
And you know, they save these farmhouses that were built back in the 1700s, 1800s, and they take the stone chambers and the stone walls down, and they build better roads. And, you know, I just, they're you know, I'm not a fan of government, to tell you the truth. I fired them all a month or so ago, but nobody left town. And it's just, you know, come on. There has to be a preservation of those that came before, or there will be no point in being here and leaving a history, because
that's
the people
true.
We raised to take over from us are going to ignore what we've created. So, you know, it's a very sad thing. I am saddened to be a part of a culture that doesn't respect historical stuff.
I'm actually going to a wedding on the 1st of March, and it's over in a place called, it's over in the Lake District. And we're actually about a mile away from the Stone Circle, which is many, 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 many years old. And I've been to it once, and the vibrations within it there were absolutely outstanding. And when you visit a lot of the places I've visited in America, you can feel the energy. And I think one of the biggest energy places I have discovered in America has got to be Yosemite Park.
Building. Oh, my God. And the Grand Canyon. Yes, that
and
area
the Grand
as
Canyon,
well.
Yes.
My grandfather in 1909 visited Stonehenge. And I have the pictures that he took.
Yeah.
And many of the stones are just, they're braced up with big 2x4s.
Yeah.
I mean,
we restored it now, and it's all the public aren't actually allowed to walk around it anymore.
Don't they have ceremonies there from time to time where people
are able to? I think they do, yes, but I think the restrictions, obviously, because it's a major historical site in the UK.
Well, you know, if any of the Americans got loose there would be graffiti all over in half a heartbeat. So
yeah.
you know I shouldn't be so disrespectful because there's so many of us that really, really do honor all of that old stuff. And you know, my bucket list, on one of my bucket lists, I have many, is the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. That's supposed to be spectacular, and I would really love to see that someday,
yeah,
too.
Now, I'm not sure, but I know in the 1970s, a good friend of mine actually visited Russia. Now, in the 1970s, to visit Russia, it was like, obviously, the dark era of Russia.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you know, it's something that's been with him since for the past 30, 40 years, that he actually got to visit Russia in that period. And he said, obviously, there was lots of restrictions.
Uh-huh.
But it was such a sight to see, such a culture. I mean, if you went over Russia now, it's probably something like a James Bond film. Full of gangsters and spies and all the rest of it.
Probably. Well, it just occurred to me that we could talk this 2 hours away, but actually there are quite a few people waiting for readings.
Yes.
I'm gonna throw a person at you that actually I have recently read, so I'm gonna let you you have the honors with her. She wants mediumship, I do believe, and her name is Chris. Hold on. Hi, Chris. How you going? How you doing?
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Ray. How are you?
Hi, Chris. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you for your time, and it's very nice to talk to you.
No trouble. You've stepped in, and somebody stepped in with you, actually. There's,
awesome.
There's two people. There's a child next to me, and there's a man, and I probably want a grandfather figure with the man because he's looking after the child. He's guiding the child. But with that, when you actually, your name was popped up, I got, oh, no, not again. And I feel that the message I was getting, there's a lot of, oh, no, not again with you in life. And there's a lot of lessons you should have learned, and you're still trying to get in your head what you've actually learned. And you shouldn't worry too much about it, except the fact there's going to be a lot of repeats. The way he's talking to me, there's going to be a lot of repeats over the coming months, but they're going to peter out or die out towards the end of the year, and things are going to be more plain sailing, because he's pushing a lot of bad energy aside for you, that the gentleman this is, and he's letting the childlike side of you, or this child energy, come into your life and give you that peace and relaxation, shall we say, area of your life, and a bit more time for yourself. And a bit more time for the child to be out, because what I'm picking up with this energy also is a creative side of you, which needs to be out as well, needs to be displaying itself and displaying your talents, so to speak. And I think a lot of those talents have been put aside because of things going wrong and things not being right and uncomfortable around you. I think this is all sort of churning up, and it'll settle back down, and you'll be able to get all these talents out with you as well. If I gave you the film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, would you understand why they've given it to me? The Jack Nicholson film. You were the nurse in that, were you?
Well, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The pop
I was
going to
say...
You're not Jack Nicholson, are you?
No, no. I enjoyed the movie. But just today, I was, and Oli, look at the synchronicity. The person I was going to say this to just popped up on Skype.
Yeah.
And the name Nurse Ratched was there. Like, I was going to say, you know, Nurse Ratched. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, and
yeah.
So that's pretty funny.
I really need to link to a lady in spirit who would have been like Nurse Ratched, but she wouldn't have been cruel to people. It would have been an authoritarian side of her. It would have been the you must do this, the Victorian, the sort of you will be told attitude, and
okay,
my will
well.
Is law. And I do want on a relative with it. You might have to research this one, because I do want that sort of, not so much turn of the century, but you know, towards the 30s and 40s with this lady, because, you know, that I think there would have been mental health problems with her, and she didn't deal with them. Would that make
sense?
Well,
I wonder if my mother, well, if my mother has recently passed, then that would make sense, all the sense in the world, you know? And
yeah.
I wouldn't know if she did, but that would make all the sense in the world. I
yeah.
will, you know, I believe that there was actually, to be honest, on my maternal grandfather's side, would be then my great grandmother. She was a very rigid woman, as I understand
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
yes.
That's probably where I'm with the one that more than anywhere else. But I'm told you're a bit of a diplomat.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I have the ability. I don't always use it, but I use it a lot. Yes,
yeah.
yes. Barbara, mute her. Mute her. Jeannie, somebody mute her. Barbara, get up, butt out of it. Yes, I am a diplomat. I can be a diplomat.
Yeah, what? Because I'm in my son's bedroom at the moment, because I've got this little bit of space where I can get a bit of privacy and what have you. But I've got Padmé Amidala from the Star Wars trilogy, and she's literally staring at me, and she keeps saying, "Talk about me, talk about me." Do you know who I mean?
I think so.
The prequels to the. It was a little bit Luke Skywalker's mamp, basically.
Yes.
So
yes.
The diplomatic side. Well, there has been. I will say with you, because these two are mentioning it and they're laughing at it. There was a tragedy in your life when you were a lot younger, but it's the fun side of it is, or should I say, the reason why they're laughing is just because you're well and truly over it now. When you laugh at it yourself, because there was lots of mistakes making. Made, I'm told to say, as well, so it can be it's sort of acceptance in that way. So
right.
the sort of thing, there is a dark shadow around you, and I'm sure you're aware of that dark shadow as well, but I don't want you to be too scared of it, because this is more protection than anything else that comes in for you. And the reason in the dark is because you'd never recognize them anyway, because they are part of the family history, and they would have been a spinster, somebody who never got married. And they would have looked after children. They would have cared for children in their life. So they come in as protection for you, for that child
okay.
side of yours. And they are there. And you've walked through them just recently and felt rather queasy or a little faint. And it was just like, say, somebody walks over your grave. You actually walked through their energy and you felt it. Because they were nervous about being seen. And the thought you'd actually seen them. And that they transferred all that energy to you. So you understand that, yeah?
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm going to leave you with a fantastic color, because they're telling me it's deep, deep, deep maroon for you. Okay?
Okay. Yeah,
it's almost
awesome.
It's almost like a velvet cloth as well, linked to it as well.
Okay.
Cool.
Awesome. That's great.
Okay.
I appreciate that, Ray, very much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks for laughing at me, Barbara. Have a great day, hey?
Anytime.
Bye.
The reason I laughed at her is that she has a very unusual way of dealing with things, and she has the most infectious laugh you've ever seen, but she, diplomatic... she has the capacity to be very diplomatic. I just haven't seen her exercise it a lot. But I think we've got to sort of move on here, because there are a lot of people here.
Yeah, no trouble.
Okay, we've got Shannon in Texas. Hi, Shannon. How's it going today?
Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. Thank you. So how can we help today?
Well, I'm trying to figure out as far as what you guys see, or as far as career, job-wise. I haven't been employed in 8 months, so do you see anything coming up?
I do. But you know, you needed to have a break. You needed to take time off. You needed to sort of sit back and take a look at really what the direction was that you wanted to go in. I feel that there was not a balance in your life. and that basically you're coming into a time of creating a new balance for yourself, I would definitely suggest that you really reconsider the field that you're in and the direction that you're going. It feels like it might be a really good idea for you to really step back and really ask yourself some serious questions about what you want to do and how you want to do it. I think that I'm not saying don't go back to work. I'm saying really question the area that you're going to be going back into, because it feels to me as though this is a time that's been given to you to reconsider the direction that you're taking your life in. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, I'm going to turn you over to Ray and see if he can expand upon.
I absolutely agree with you on that one. The reason you were given so much time off is to reassess your abilities and point them in a new direction. And I see focusing very, very hard on new directions for yourself, and it's important that you do, because you've been given all these skills. And you know, sometimes I don't want to go do a different job, because I'm quite comfortable where I am. I don't want to be challenged, and that's what I'm picking up with you as well, that you don't want to be challenged. And you need to get yourself challenged and get that blood flowing in your life again as well. I'm going to say there's a possibility of a new relationship connected to your job as well. But I will say that be careful of these type relationships. It's hard to say whether it's going to be romantically involved or just friendship, but again, just be careful of these, because sometimes they can be overbearing, and needy people can be a lot needier than you expect them to be as well. With you being in Texas as well, obviously the first thing that came to mind was the Yellow Rose of Texas. But I want links to a gentleman who could sing. I wouldn't. A crooner wouldn't be the right name for him. He could sing. And this gentleman is a part of the fabric of your family, so I'm possibly on granddad, father with this link. And it's just the fact that he wouldn't have liked to have been associated with Frank Sinatra, because he thought Frank Sinatra's voice was too rough, where his voice he considered a lot smoother, and there was that choral links there as well. So if you can relate to these, please do. I've got a song for you as well, which comes from one of the musicals, and it's The Rhythm of Life. And you must feel that the rhythm of life has sort of left you at the moment. Well, it's still there. It's just that you need to dig a bit deeper to find it and understand what your new rhythm is. Because it's like changed tracks. It's like a train that's changed tracks. And that's all all the confusion that's going on is the fact that you don't know what your rhythm is at the moment. And it's certainly going to be a bit more upbeat for the year to come. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Shannon.
Thank you so much.
Take care now. Bye-bye. Yeah, the rhythm of life, come on, Lion King, great stuff.
It wasn't the rhythm of life. It was this one was the one Sammy Davis Jr. sang in Sweet Charity.
Yes.
It's Sweet Charity.
Now, why am I going to The Lion King? There's something. Oh, I know. It was The Circle of Life.
Circle of Life, yeah. The Rhythm of Life. Rhythm of Life. Da, da, da. I'm not gonna sing.
Oh, good. Okay. I don't want you to quit your day job.
Oh, I wouldn't believe you, mate. When I do stand-ups, the mediumship stand-ups, I get a song and they're like looking at me, well, sing it. Go on, sing it. And I'm saying, no, I won't.
it's funny. I can hear the music in my head, but when I try to express it, it's unrecognizable. And it's really funny. My sister and I are 3 years apart. We have the same voice, talking voice. You honestly could not tell the difference between the two of us, except possibly by inflection. She has the most beautiful singing voice ever, and I think that somehow she got all of my singing too, because I certainly have none of it left. So it's sad. I can hear that music. I just can't make it come out of my mouth.
Yeah. Well, I've got two left feet when I dance and two left feet when I sing. So.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. Okay, we've got Althena here in Arizona. Hi, Althena. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. How can we help you?
My relationship.
Wait, you can pick up on it.
You're in a relationship now, right?
Yes.
You see, I'm working with pictures at the moment, and the first picture I got was the back end of the Grand Canyon with you at the moment. And I think that's with the relationship more than anything else. I'd like to say there's, with the relationship side, there's something wrong. There's something not right. I don't really know how to describe that without being too personal.
What exactly do you mean? Like,
there's just big. Well, I'm going to go back to the crank. There's just a big cavern. Cavern, a gap. If with relationships, you need to sort of build a bridge, or at least look down at what's at the bottom of the relationship rather than what's at the top. Because if I'm going to do it using a simile of any sort, you see all the beautiful stuff at the top of the Grand Canyon, but if you want to see the important stuff, you've got to go to the bottom of it, where the heart is. And as regards relationships, that's what I'm picking up with you as well. I'm going to be bold and ask a question. Is there a problem around family harmony at the moment?
No.
No, there isn't. Well, it must be linked in with a partner then of some sort, because this is where I'm picking this up as well. New locations and family harmony, and it's sort of a distorted thing more than anything else. And like I say, the only way you're going to find out is by delving deep into the bottom of the problem rather than look at the surface of it. And that's the way that's probably why I've got the top of the Grand Canyon there, because it's just this cavern that's just opened up, and you can see the top but you can't see the bottom, and you need to dig really deep on that one as well. Does May the 4th mean anything to you?
No.
It doesn't. It must do somewhere along the line, but don't give me dates for no reason whatsoever. Write May the 4th down in your diary then, because I will say it's going to be a red letter day for you. Okay.
I want to sort of hop in here a little bit.
That's
too.
That's no trouble, yeah.
My feeling here is there's an inner restlessness that you're questioning a lot of things. And while I think, how long have you been in this relationship?
It's a relationship that I recently got back into.
Okay. From what I'm seeing here, it doesn't fit you anymore. And it doesn't mean this isn't a good person. It just means this doesn't fit you. It doesn't address your needs at this particular point in time. I think there's a certain amount of comfort, and then there's a certain amount of claustrophobia here. So that, and again, I'm not saying it's not a good person. Please understand that. Hear that loud and clear. I'm just saying that this does not fit
no,
you.
No, I think at this point, like, the relationship was really good, and I was just wanting confirmation on that, but you guys pick up something different, so maybe
yeah.
You're not reading me, or... Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm pretty sure I am. And I think that down deep inside, you're questioning, and I don't know what you're questioning, but you are questioning. And certainly the element of forgiveness comes in here, and if there is something that was out of balance...
Like, it's common sense, isn't it? If somebody asks you a question about a relationship, obviously they're wanting to know for a reason. So, yeah, of course there's a question there. But other than that, I honestly think that, you know, it's going to be good this time around. So, but...
Okay, we certainly wish you all the best of luck here with this.
Yeah.
I do want to say to you, though, that you have to make sure that this time you continue to follow your dreams and don't give your dreams up in order to try to help someone else realize theirs. that it's really important for both of you to keep following your dreams, because that's what creates the flame and the energy that attracts you one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the balance that I see, you know, being very important that you maintain in order for this, you know, to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you maintain this balance, I think that you have a good, strong chance at having the kind of relationship that you want. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks
yeah.
for calling. Okay. You know, when somebody asks, you know, about something, we have to give what we get.
Yeah.
And often it isn't what people expect to hear. So, but that's the cool thing about doing readings, is sometimes we can give them a different perspective, some, you know, different ways of looking at things.
Absolutely.
And you know, and what we see is not necessarily carved in stone. Well,
that's
no,
true.
It's not carved in stone. But the reality here is, you know, you're looking from one perspective, I'm looking from another, and the people involved are looking from still another. So that
yeah.
so that it's just we're giving them other things to consider and to touch into, and you know, it's their journey, it's their choice, and it's their relationship. So you know, we can't make something what it's not, and we can't make something better. You know, well, my magic wand is in the shop. I don't know about yours. But, you know, and we only give, yeah?
We only can give what we can. If they, it's up to the receiver to understand the message.
Yes.
It's up to, at the end of the day. Yes, there could be a chance it doesn't pertain, and I'm sure somebody in the chat room would have kicked in by now and told us, oh, it's me.
Oh, but, I'm sure the chat room is not shy.
Yes.
But
well,
but,
I'm gonna set you a quick challenge, because there's a lady in there called Sheila in the chat room. If you can give her 2 minutes of your time.
Sure. Is this a friend of yours?
It's a friend of mine, yes. She's just put up there, hi, Rach, Shirley.
Oh,
there she
okay.
is.
Sheila, right?
Sheila, yes.
Okay. Sure. Let me throw some cards down here. What the heck? The cool thing about doing a show like this is my show. I can do what I want. I try to play fair. Okay, what I'm saying, why don't I just do a let it rip for her, and that way I can, that's
the best way to do it.
Okay, so, alrighty, at this point in time, it feels as though that your world is a big puzzle, and that this next year is going to be a time in which you're putting pieces together, lots and lots of pieces, and you will find that not all the pieces are there, but even so, you're going to get a better picture, a better understanding, a better feeling as to what life is going to be for you over the next 12 months. At this point in time, you're birthing a new aspect of yourself. You're coming into a greater understanding of the power and the gifts and the energies that you have available to you, and you're using them in new and different ways. You're opening new venues, and you're opening new channels for yourself in order to manifest some of the richness and the wisdom that you've gathered over the ages that you have traveled through time. Your spirit has traveled through time. As you get to the March time frame, there's a sense of here of understanding a lot of the trials and tribulations that you have put yourself through, and understanding the wisdom and the intensity that made you go through the, I almost want to say that you've been walking on hot coals and not being burned, that you've been jumping through hoops that the universe has put in front of you. And you understand the reason for it, and you understand that there was good, sound, rational logic to why you had to do what you have done of late, and you know, not that you're going to write thank you notes to anybody, but it, you see a purpose in the difficulties that you have gone through prior to this time frame. As you get into April, there's a sense of new beginnings, fresh starts. There are projects opening up. There's a new balance in your life. And it does feel as though you are becoming interested and intrigued in new directions and philosophies, new paradigms, opening you up to new perspectives that you're moving into. And it does feel as though you have new goals set for yourself. You've changed your priorities. You've gotten rid of what doesn't resonate to your reality, and you're moving into a time in the May time frame of new balance, of bringing justice and balance into your life, of getting a good flow of energy so that you're not just putting it out, but you're bringing it in and you're cycling it through yourself. A period of being tired is now soon passing, so that you will have more vital energy than ever before. And there's a sense here of learning how to channel the energy more so than you do now, so that you don't have those time frames when you get exhausted and you have to just sit down and recharge yourself, sort of pull away from people and everything and just let the dust settle. I feel that those times that you need to do that are going to be fewer and fewer as you move on over the next 5 to 10 years. There's a duality here in June. It feels like there are two major projects you're working on. And as you get into the July time frame, there's an inner restlessness wanting things to move faster than they are. The universe, you know, will not allow that, but you can push all you want. It just feels like you're trying to make things come to a conclusion so that you can get onto other projects, and you have to go back and actually attend to details that you've sort of overlooked, and once you've attended to details, things will move forward a lot more rapidly for you. As you get to August, there's a time here, and this is a time where there's a lot of emotional stuff. You're getting rid of emotional stuff. You're sort of taking the baggage that you carry and you're slimming it down to like an overnight bag. It's sort of letting go of pettiness and things that no longer pertain to your life, and you're opening yourself up to new experiences and new people who are coming into your life. September is a time where you're busier than ever before. It looks as though you are just you're scheduled to the point where you don't have time to take a deep breath, but that's okay because you don't really need to, and it feels as though everything you have agreed to do, they all bring you joy. They all bring you a sense of comfort, and they all bring you a sense of, I see bliss here all over the place, so it must be great, great busy things that you're doing. You're evolving into a new understanding of your purpose and your direction in life in the October time frame, and by the time you come into November, your touch with the spirit realm has expanded greatly. Your ability to touch not only the spirit realm but dimensions beyond the spirit realm, so that interdimensional energies are coming in here, and you're beginning to understand the levels of the dimensions that are out there that we have access to if only we reach for them. There's a sense here as you get into December that the spotlight is falling on you, and I mean the literal spotlight. So I think you will be doing some public things, some things that attention is going to be drawn to you, and you seem to really actually silently revel in it and think it's really, really great, and it is. There's a part of you that two or three lifetimes ago, you had a number of lifetimes in which you did work on stage. So being in the spotlight is something that a part of you just absolutely revels in. And you're going, you know, of course, you're very humble and you don't want to say, yeah, that's great and I love it and I deserve it, but there's a part of you that thinks you do, and it's right. It's right. As you get to January of next year, there is a sense here of two major projects. I keep seeing two major projects throughout this whole thing, so there are two major projects you're working on. I do feel that writing is important to you, and at some point in time there is publication of at least three books. Okay, does that relate to her?
Well, according to the chat room, yes, she doesn't understand. She can't relate to a lot of it, but again, you absolutely fast as things, so I think she'll listen back to a lot, but she does. She's an absolutely brilliant medium. An absolutely brilliant medium. I will put my hand on heart. I've had a good part in her training. And we've got a good working relationship. And she's coming to help me out in a little charity event in the end of this month or the beginning of next month. So she popped in to say hello.
The thing that I was absolutely fascinated with is the connection to the realm beyond the spirit realm.
Yes.
So that looked really fascinating.
I think she's been heading that way for a long time. I think it's just her own confidence that has stopped her going that far. And every time I've worked with her, and I do tease her a little bit, but she knows I do it to actually give her confidence, if nothing else.
Uh-huh.
But I can see just by the way she's typing there, she absolutely loves the message.
Oh, good. I'll
pay for a reading off you one day, you know, because that was brilliant.
Hey, come on, it's free. I'll just barter with you. We've got to get back to this queue, though.
Yes.
Okay, that was fun. Thank you, Sheila. That was a lot of fun. Okay, Jill in Illinois. Hi there, Jill. How you doing today?
Hi. I'm calling to see what Roy said, but do you remember I called you last week about the cat?
I do. How's the cat?
You know what? He's starting to relax, I noticed yesterday. Like he's coming around and he's not so uptight. And I did move the cage and everything, like you said.
I'm so glad.
And then, you know, it get down to, like, minus 5 below or more. So maybe he knows and he's not out there. I don't know.
Well, you can't do any more than you've already done.
Yes.
Okay, Ray, I'm going to turn you over to Jill because I have read her very much lately. So,
thank you.
Do you understand what a willow pattern is?
A willow.
It's a willow pattern's usually what the Chinese used to put on their plates, ornate plates. And I've got a willow pattern for you, but I've also got a weeping willow. So I want a lady in spirit who would have been, she would have been crying. She would have been sad towards the end of her life because of losses in her family. I think a lot of her family passed away before she did. So there was a lot of sadness in her heart and what have you. And that's how she was always considered a weeping willow by the rest of the family or the new blood coming into the family. She was always the sad one. I just want to say that you have felt a twinge of sadness just released, and it just literally came on and disappeared over maybe 10 minutes or so. And it just, like I say, came on and disappeared, and it was just like you. Well, you were obviously picking up from spirit yourself as well. I've also got somebody who would have loved the likes of Gilbert and Sullivan operas as well, the pomp and circumstance, as the British call it, of the things. So there would have been a lot of regimental stylings about them. I want to know the character of this, because he's more or less coming through like a British pomp and circumstance with the handlebar moustaches and the mutton chops and everything else. So I want to know all the energy with this person as well. But I've got... I'm sort of mixed up with this character because he does look a little bit like he was in Paint Your Wagon, and I can't think of his name at the moment. Who was in Paint Your Wagon, Barbara? Remind me. Actor. I can see his face, I just can't think of his name.
At 4 o'clock this morning, I'll think of it and I'll call you.
Yes, I know. Cheers. But it's not so much, it's the old West style character. And this is what I want with him. And this is probably why I've been shown the Paint Your Wagon reference, because it would have been old West. The vintage time, but he would have liked the British pomp and circumstances. So this is related to your family somewhere along the line, though. And
okay,
this is,
Lee Marvin, Clint Eastwood.
Lee Marvin, that's the one. Lee Marvin.
Okay.
Okay. And it's just the partial shaved and the mutton chops and all the rest of it. You may have to do some research for this one, obviously, because I'm going back with this one. But this is your link to the past, and you can look for the pomp and circumstance in your life. And pomp and circumstance is sort of what we like to call old British drama, where it was a drama about nothing, really. It just happened. And there was a fun side of it, and there was a musical side to the pomp and circumstance. The royalty have pomp and circumstances at their, when they have big ceremonies. So I think with this as well, there's a nice ceremony coming in for you as well, which you're linked to, which you can enjoy as well. But I will say there has been a passing just recently where there would have been a lot of middle-aged old people there sat there sort of in judgment of the passing as well. And there would have been like tight-lipped and kept the mouth shut because they didn't want to say anything because they were too flustered. And there was this sort of middle-class wrongness about it as well. So I wonder if you understand where I'm with that one, or am I working with somebody else at the moment?
It could be my dad.
It could be your dad. Okay, thank you. It's just there's this energy mixed up with it as well, and I would have felt that he would have looked down on these people and think, you know, what's the problem with? And he would have had that sort of free spirit that Lee Marvin had in his movies, the sort of
that sounds like my dad.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just that sort of, you know, I don't, you know, life's too short, you know, let's go have a beer. Oh, let's go do something.
Exactly,
like that.
That sounds like bad.
Yeah, it's just, but the the need for celebrations and ceremonies was still there within the family as well. As well, I'm going to give you a number because I feel this number's important to you, and I want to give you the number 500 as well. So if you can relate to the 500 as well, but I need to step back ever so slightly from that, and I need to pick up on some warriors in your family, so there'll be soldiers, because there will, and I probably want to go to one of the wars with this, because they would have held their position to the end. And that's what I'm being told to tell you. Just like the characters out of the movie 300, they would have held their post till the end. So if you can link into family members who passed away during a war and a gun battle, this is what they're telling me. At the moment, they're telling me that you need to hold out to the end. Okay?
Okay.
You need to stand your ground, keep yourself well-armed and well-ammunitioned up to the very end. And they said you'll win through, just like they did in the 300, which is obviously a story about the past, should we say. But this is what's coming through for you at the moment. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
I hope
Thanks
that makes some
calling.
Sense.
Yes, it does make sense. It totally makes sense.
Because we rattle on, you know, our brains are rattling on, and we're given these messages, and you wonder, there's a little bit inside you. I hope she understands.
Yes, it does make sense. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Jill.
And thank you for helping me with the cat. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think that is one of the exciting and the terrifying parts of this field, that oftentimes strange and unique and different things come into your head and you find them coming out your mouth and you wonder, oh, good Lord, is this making sense, or am I sounding like an absolute idiot?
I suppose I'm lucky in that department. For a lot of my life at work, you know, I got put down and taunted and teased. It was a general camaraderie, but you generally sometimes think, well, you know, are they right? Am I really that stupid?
Well, you know, I don't know, a number of times, you know, people have asked me to do things and I've thought, oh, this is going to be a big mistake, but then I've made a fool of myself in front of bigger numbers of people than this. This is not a big deal. And you know, usually it works out just fine, because I have no idea why. I've been very, very lucky, I guess, basically, is what it comes down to. But there have been times when I have had, and that's another thing that's important for people to know, at least in my experience, when you get a message, you have to give it or you don't get anything else.
Yes.
It's kind of like you have to get it out of the way, and it's very much also as when spirit comes in, you have to deal with the spirit in front of your face before you can get to the spirits behind them. And you know, when somebody won't recognize the spirit you're talking to, you can't get to the ones behind them. So if people say to you, I'm not sure, I'll think about it, then you can at least move on to the next spirit.
I always say, I'll be doing this in the next couple of days, especially with a stand-up audience, that you say, well, just remember, I'm not the one under pressure. It's you who has to accept the message and understand the message. I put a little pressure on you. So just take the message away with you and think about it.
Yeah, and, you know, it the numbers of times that been saying something to someone and they've been saying no and they've been saying no and they've been saying no, and then maybe a week later they'll pull me aside and say, you know, I absolutely figured it all out. And
yeah,
it's like, oh great, you couldn't have done it that night, but you're going to do it now, huh?
Yeah. Well,
but I think that comes with time, and that comes with maturity, and that comes with, I guess, a tougher skin too. You know, I no longer really clam up because somebody says no. I will more likely say, well, think about it for a while and get back to me in a couple of days. If you can relate to it, fine, then we'll try to go further. And if you can't, then just release it. It was for someone else.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And that's the way, obviously, when you're dealing with the public as well, they say, well, he was rubbish. He was wrong. What does he know? And you think, well, yeah, you know, at least say you enjoyed the night, if not
yeah.
else.
Well, you know, the reality is we're always right because we're giving what we're getting. It may not
yes.
apply, but we're always giving what we're getting.
The thing is, we've got a job to do to pass on to a message to somebody. If the message doesn't belong to them, then they can pass it on
mm-hmm.
just by telling the story.
Oh, sure. And by allowing us to give the message, it then is released so that whoever it's really meant to hit is able to touch into it. So
exactly, yes.
It's you know, there is, not only is there an art to giving the message, but there is absolutely an art to receiving messages as well. And I don't think that most people understand that.
Yeah.
So I guess it's up to us to teach them at some point in time, but not going to do it today.
This is what Sheila's problem was. She didn't believe she had a message. So I'm very, very, I'm not hard, but I'm very, very, I'll put people on the spot. And,
well,
you know, it doesn't help sometimes. Sometimes I just climb up, but sometimes I say, well, you know, in a little voice I'll say, well, I've got this message for so-and-so, and I don't know whether it's right.
Well, you know, sometimes, too, people who are incredibly psychic and incredibly talented just absolutely, you know, say, I'm not psychic and I'm not this and I'm not that. And so the only thing you can do with them, if you want to help them, is throw them under the bus and say, okay, you know,
yes.
I got
yeah.
this. What do you get? And,
yeah.
you know, then they either stand there and stammer or they give you something, and it's always beautiful. So,
yeah.
And you know, I would never do that to somebody that
Sheila gave me one of the best bits of evidence she'd ever given anybody at the time. And it was a strange one because a friend of mine passed away some time ago, 7 years ago. She was only 44 years old, bless her. She had DVT. And
mm-hmm.
Sheila Kitt, we were in the class one day, and Sheila said, well, I've got a message for you here. I've got a lady here. And she described my friend, and the way I knew it was her, because she had her dressed up in a costume. And my friend was really outward going, and she would do daft things like that for a laugh. And she turned around and said, well, you're watching the weather on the radio. And obviously for actually Sheila to turn that, say, watching the weather on the radio, was like, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it makes perfect sense to me. Because my radio equipment, I've got really expensive radio equipment, and it is top of the range, you know, by standards. And mine's got a TFT monitor on it, so I can actually look at the physical radio signals and what they're doing. So it's a bit of an oscilloscope going on. And I set my systems up, my radio systems up, by a thing called Volmet, which is a weather station for the aircrafts,
mm-hmm.
which they find out what the weathers are. So I'll sit and set my radio up and watch the weather on the radio. And
watch the weather on. I love that.
And she couldn't have given me a more accurate message. And she was, give her a due, she was willing to say that message.
Well, you know, I think that judgment is something when you do readings that you have to really kind of let go of. And because sometimes the strangest things touches people in the deepest way. It's just amazing.
Yes, I'm going to ask a favor. I know another
sure.
favor, but the next caller, I don't want to hear her voice. I'm just going to rabbit on to the lady, if that's okay. I don't want to hear her voice.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, I have to say her name so she knows who she is so I can open the mic, right?
Okay, yes. But as long as she understands that she hasn't got to speak. I'll take my headphones off just briefly.
Okay. All right. Sharon in New York, 954614. You're the next caller. He doesn't want to hear your name. I'm going to open the mic, but please don't say anything. Okay, Ray, you're on.
Okay, smashing, because I feel there's been the wrong button put just very recently with this person, and that button needs to be repushed or reset within themselves. If I'm talking metaphorically, somebody's pushed the wrong button around them and they need to say sorry or put the thing right with that as well. I feel there's either Greek or Southern European origins within this family as well, and it's the first word I got with Greek as well. There's also a big need for her to take a bite out of a new apple. It's going to be a bit of a sour one to start with, but like most apples, they do mature and they do get taste better when they're a bit more mature. So she needs to bite this apple early. She needs to get in while it's still sour, while nobody else is touching it. While nobody else is even looking at it, it's obviously could be a financial way, but it will be a good thing for her because nobody else is looking at this at the moment, and she needs to jump in at the opportunity. I wouldn't say put all your eggs in one basket, but just understand, obviously, there is a risk in what you're going to take, but I will say there is a lot of success linked with that. But again, it's taking a risk, and I don't feel she's a risk taker. Or she has taken some wrong risks and has sort of had that, shall we say, doubt in her mind for a while. And there's a father figure in spirit who comes through on a regular basis to see her and pop in. He pops into the house as well and says hello. And I do believe she will have heard the voice say hello. And I've got they're giving me a song as well. They're giving me Blondie, Tide is High. So it's just like this thing as well. But there's also Mary Poppins there as well. Because I've got All I Want Is Somewhere. I've got to sing these songs sometimes. There's that Cockney thing going on as well. But I also want Pygmalion, so there must have been issues around speech at some time in the life, or issues in the family around speech, or not speaking properly, proper English, as we call it over here. And I've also got her writing letters, love letters and financial letters, over the past 3 months as well. But I feel that a computer's broken down over the last 3 months as well, so there's been a lot of frustration around a computer as well, and issues around that as well. But the letters have gone off, and there will be replied very shortly. And I've got to say, you've sometimes got to take bites of apples that don't taste right, or don't think they're right for you. Cooking apples, and I want to link that to a mother figure, the cooking apples more than anything else, because I've got the Doris Day apple pie type girl as well linked in spirit, and I think that links to the mother or the grandmother sort of side of things as well. But we'll, with that link, I'm not going to sing. Definitely not going to sing this one. It's the Doris Day "Once I Had a Secret Love," because that one's coming very strong with her as well. So, does this make absolutely any sense whatsoever?
She can talk now.
You can talk now. Yeah.
Yes, it does. I've had major computer frustration. And it's semi-resolved. And this Southern European, Russia-Poland link. And father figure, yes, definitely. Mother, yes. And, you know, grew up in the 50s and 60s, and that sort of day, like, you know, kind of, I have had a lot of financial disappointment. did take risks, lost a lot from taking risks. So possibly if an opportunity comes and, you know, maybe I will. I don't know.
It's just that I think it's the bitter taste more than anything, but sometimes you've got to take that bitter taste. And this, I feel that this thing you're going to have is totally unique. And yeah, you maybe it's like, oh, well, you know, I've had, dare I again. I'm not going to tell you which way to go. I can't obviously advise you on that because at the end of the day, it's your money. But,
right.
You know, you have heart problems as well. There's definitely a battered heart there, bruised heart. Definitely. I can feel it. With relationships.
Physically or with relationships? Well, you know, there's been I've had my share of disappointments, I guess like anyone else, but, Well, disappointments, I guess. And,
There's one particular one I can see, and it's literally left a lesion down the front of the heart, so that would have been a major blow to you. And it's still there, and it's still like every now and again as well. Can I give you Tigger from Winnie the Pooh as well, please?
Oh, hey. Oh, that sounds good. Anything about my children, any perspectives on them? I have a son and a daughter who are kind of, you know, I don't know, confused about where they're going in life.
Yeah, like most kids, get them away from the PlayStation.
They're beyond that, but I mean, they're just kind of like, you know.
One of them has a great gift, and I would have said that it was automatic writing. That is working with spirit with the hand and actually just writing stuff that's coming into the head, slaying it down on a piece of paper and making sense of it later. But I want a male with that one. Now the trouble is
the male graduated from NYU with a degree in writing. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I just needed that as well. But I'm going to ask: Is there any latent psychological problems there as well?
With the male,
one? Yeah.
Probably, yeah. I would think so. Yeah.
So I think he's still. I think he's the one who needs the most cuddles at the moment, and just reassurance that everything's going to be all right.
Yeah. I think so. I think not. You know. Scholastically brilliant, but psychologically, sort of like lacks common sense in a way. I think academically wonderful, but like in the common sense department, a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know loads of people like that.
but he's a writer. He's a writer.
Well, I mean, he's got something. I mean, I do a little bit of writing, but, you know, I'd love to do a lot more. And sometimes I just know it's not going to happen. It's not coming through for me. So with what he can do, I mean, he's got a good talent there. I mean, he just needs, obviously, well... It's probably the psychological side is his free spirit more than anything else. And yes, with free spirit, you make mistakes.
Yeah.
What can
you do? Yes, that's true. That's very true. But thank you so much for that. Certainly that wonderful intuitive and mind-blowing reading, because it was very, very right on. And you're awesome. I mean, wonderful.
I just felt
he
like
is awesome, and you can go to archives and, you know, download it so that you can actually listen to it over and over again and hear things that you didn't hear the first time.
Yeah, I will definitely do that. This is the first time I'm calling in. I'm actually off from work, so I have a day off now and then. So I did mention
a speech problem. Would that make sense to you as well?
Yes. As a girl, I had a lisp.
Right. Okay.
I had a lisp, and I went to speech therapy for many years and tried to get rid of that lisp. Yeah.
Right.
You did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, clear as day.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Sharon.
Aww, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Thank you
thank
so
you,
much.
Thank you.
We are.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was fun.
Wasn't it just? Sometimes you just
yes.
get to break the mold and try something new, basically.
Well, you know, it actually, it's great. You know, it's great confirmation, and I think that's one of the cool things, one of the coolest parts of Blog Talk Radio is that you can really play. You can really say, hey, I want to try this. You know, any guinea pigs in the chat room want to, you know, try this out or something like that, so that it is a wonderful place and stage to try things out. You know, sometimes they'll work. Sometimes that worked beautifully, by the way.
Yes.
We've got Wanda here in Georgia. Hi, Wanda. How are you doing today?
Hi. Thank you. Fine. A little cold, but I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure. How can we help?
Well, I could see if there's any messages for me from the other side. I just recently had an aunt that passed away that was very dear to me, and I didn't know if I was able to communicate with her.
When did she pass?
She passed about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, you know, you got her?
Could she dance?
Yeah, she loved to dance.
Oh, bless her. She's here then, isn't she? Because I've got a twirling around, like a dervish, like her. But there must have been. There must have been a love of classical music, and I've had Nat King Cole as well singing in my ear. You know, he's not here, but I've got Nat King Cole sort of music singing in my ear as well. That sort of easy listening type music. Obviously, were you living in Georgia? The first thing that came into my head was Georgia on My Mind, which is a classic track, but it was just so easy and laid back as well. But I've also got a bit of rock and roll there kicking in, because I've got to say to you at the moment, that'll be the day. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that must make sense to you as well, because it's a little stubborn streak in you more than anything else. But this also links to the lady in spirit as well, because it's a family trait. That'll be the day to get over me. But there is going to be someone who gets one over on you, but you need to walk away, literally walk away. Turn your back, don't say a word, and come back when you calm down, okay? Because I do feel it will have been a mistake, and they realise the mistake after they've perpetuated it, basically. So walk away, don't lose your temper. Yes, be angry, but reason with it and come back when you're calm down. Count to 10, count to 20, possibly 100, but just calm down with that one as well. I've got I don't know what I've got in spirit at the moment. There's a bit of jumble. I've got a load of cuddly toys in spirit. Could you link to a load of cuddly toys in spirit, like teddies and stuff like that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I just needed to move those out of my bedroom now. It's a comfort thing more than anything else. That's probably why I'm showing. It's for you to comfort yourself with. Remember the cuddly toys and stuff like that. But also the link to the cuddly toys as well. I do feel there's going to be a few blue times coming up with you. But you can fight through these, no trouble whatsoever. Because it's just the other side of you fighting against the normal you, if you are. I'm not saying you're bipolar in any way. It's just that we all have this id fighting against what we consider normality or reality, and you need to understand that you're just fighting against your other side of your personality more than anything else. Because I dismiss stuff when depression hits, and I'm fighting against that in that shape or form. Because there's this blue time that's coming in. I wouldn't worry too much about it. It's not a negative side, just you needing to understand where you are and getting your mind straight set on that as well. I'm going to give you $1 as well, and just one single dollar. Just what I'm told to give you is a single dollar. Would that make sense to you in any way?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you. You're right, I'll send it in the post. But I'm also told there's health issues around you as well, but they will get better. They will ease off as well. Has there been problems around your larynx, your voice box, just recently?
Yes.
Thank you. And I want to go a bit further down as well with problems around the stomach area and a bit lower and towards the feet as well.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. These are things that are being dealt with by spirit energy. So when you feel the heat on a night time, you understand that they're helping. I'm not about the actual heat of the air. I mean, about the heat of your body. And you'll understand that there's therapy going on around you as well, because you have a lot of healers in your family anyway, in the family history, who would have been doing this, saying kind words and looking after people was sometimes enough. But when they were really healing, they were sending out their love and their appreciation for the individual. Yeah?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Would you like to add to that, Barbara?
I would. When first I heard your voice, the first thing that just absolutely filled the room here was Amazing Grace. Does that mean anything to you?
Yes. We used to go to church together, and we always sang that song at church with my aunt.
Okay, because that was very loud. I have to tell you that she cared for you very, very much. And towards the end, though she wasn't able to say what she wanted to everybody, she does want you to know I find her energy a sweet, wonderful, loving energy. But she had a few words that probably should not have been said anyhow to a few people, and it's just as well she didn't get the opportunity. It was kind of like she wanted to go out with saying the last word to a few people, and though she didn't get a chance to, it's probably wiser that she didn't. Was she a shopper? Because I see her, I see her with a purse, and usually when I see them with a purse, it feels as though they were somebody who liked to shop.
Oh, she loved to shop. She loved to go shopping.
That was the woman thing then.
Yeah. When I see ladies in spirit that have a purse with them, it means they tried to take their credit cards with them, probably. And it does. She has such a twinkle in her eye. I do feel that also her hands feel very, very good now. She's showing me her hands and white gloves. Did she wear gloves a lot?
No, but when she washed dishes, she did wear gloves though.
Oh, okay. Because she's got white gloves on right now. And she feels very, gosh, how do I put it? She was a very meticulous person. She took good care of herself. She always looked as best she could. I get a prim and proper feeling here, and it feels as though she is with. She's saying she's with her people. She's with her people, and she's comfortable, and she's content, and she's happy. And she doesn't want you to worry or miss her, because, frankly, she's dropping in on a pretty regular basis, checking out and making sure what everybody's doing. As with a lot of people, when they pass over, there was a service of some sort for her, a memorial service or a funeral?
Yes.
She took attendance. She paid very close attention to who was there and who did not show up. And it was very important to her, because she always was very careful about making sure that she attended funerals and when she could and when she was able. She feels exuberant. She feels so relieved that she feels as good as she does. And she's saying, I don't know if it'll make sense to you, but she's saying that if she knew it was so blissful and wonderful over there, she would have not been so reluctant to go, and she would have gone probably sooner had she known how wonderful it is.
Wow.
That makes sense?
Yes. She was really scared of, she was scared of a lot of things. And at the end, she had a stroke. And she wasn't able to talk, and she could only, the last day that I seen her, well, she was at the hospital, she only had her eyes open. I know she knew I was there, but she wasn't able to talk to me, but I could tell in her eyes, you know, that she was scared. And whenever she would doze off, my cousin would be holding her hands, but as soon as she would let go of her hands and had to get up or go do something, she would immediately get open her eyes. And so I think she was really scared about the unknown, but now you're confirming that, you know, she was okay, and that's what I wanted to know, that she was going to be, you know, she was okay.
Oh, she's more than okay. She's learning that so much more is possible for her, and that she hasn't lost any of herself. As a matter of fact, she's gotten the best of herself back. So that it's joyful. She is gossiping with people that had passed years and years and years before. Was her father in the service?
You know what? I'm not sure. Her father wasn't much in her life when she was younger, or when her life, he wasn't in her life.
Well, he was there when she passed, and behind him stands a large number of men who are in uniform. So that you know, they've spent many hours sitting and talking, and apparently she felt a void, and he's helped to fill it. So it's been a joyful reunion for her, and she's had a chance to be with him in a way that she never was in life.
Wow.
So it's been, she's having a wonderful time. She's chatting it up like crazy. So
she loved the gossip.
Yes. You're going to find she visits you. You're going to find she drops pennies for you. You're going to find that she's around, and once she learns how to do a lot of other stuff, she's going to probably be annoying as heck. So look for the pennies, though, for right now. Look for the pennies, okay?
I will. It was a lovely reading. Thank you. I was hoping to hear from her or hear something about her, because she was my best friend, and we talk every day, and I don't have that no more.
Yes, you do. She sits in a rocking chair talking to you all the time. And what's interesting is, did she ever accuse you of not listening to her?
Yes.
Okay, well, yes, that's about what she's saying now. I'm talking, she's not listening, but I'm just going to keep talking. I'll get through that head sooner or later.
Okay.
So she's definitely there. Thanks for calling, Wanda, very, very much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Okay, we've got Brittany in New Jersey. Hi, Brittany. How's it going today?
Hi. Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. You wanted mediumship today, right?
Yes.
I'm turning it over to you, Ray. I will pop in after you.
I'm just getting a lot of silence at the moment, and I think, excuse me, I think you need this time at the moment, especially with the silence, the silent times. I think that you can quite well talk the spirit yourself, or the spirits that you need. And I think the only reason they're being quiet with me is because they want to talk directly to you. And you need to understand what we do as mediums. If you don't already understand, it's called being aware. So the answers you seek, you'll always get in your head, and they'll always be in the voices of the people you need to hear from. And it's like a universal translator from spirit. They'll always use their voice for you as well. And it's like sometimes you've actually received a text message of some sort, whether it be on the PC, and you've heard their voice reading it as well. So these are the hints that they've been trying to give you to actually talk to them or answer back. but your thoughts are being listened to. Could I ask, is there a baby child in spirit there as well, please? Hello?
Yes.
There is.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, it's
not
just
mine,
I need,
but like.
Yeah, it's just I just needed this baby child, and I was told to call it a baby child, not just a baby as well. And I want a mothering figure around that as well. And you can ask these people what you need to do. Can I be bold and ask, is there a relationship breakup as well?
Yeah.
There is. And again, this is the questions the answers you need, you'll get from spirit, and you'll get them in the voices of the people you're asking for the advice from. I've got some, I'm not sure whether it's elderberry, but it's a small berry type, it's a small berry type wine. That's the only thing. It looks like elderberry to me, but I've got some of this wine, some homemade wine, and it was almost good enough to use as a medicine as well. So can you link into that for me, please? These things I'm giving you are links to prove what I'm saying is correct more than anything else. Okay?
None of them. The moment, but I'm sure it's ringing a bell. I just don't know.
Are you still using a very old version of Windows on a computer?
Yeah.
Thank you. Again, it's to prove that we're working with the right people here, and to prove what I'm saying is reasonably accurate for you. It's because they think it's funny. You know, saying I'm almost getting this is oh yeah, this is a modern world, you know. You get the upgrade sort of thing as well. There is a dark, I won't say a dark energy, but a dark figure energy in your house as well. And just ask the figure questions. You must have been aware of this energy in your house for a while as well, because it's sort of they've made themselves aware of you and aware to you that they're there, so you must have been a party to this presence in your house already. Would that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. It's nothing to worry about. It's just, like I said, dark energy presence. The trouble is with the word dark and energy, it's straight away, it's Hollywood kicks in and think, oh my God, it's evil. Slasher movies, Halloween, all the rest of the movie. No, it isn't. It's just the way they've manifested themselves. Okay? Because there's a lot of misunderstanding in their lives about what they need to do when they were in spirit, so they're having trouble figuring out how to do it. It's like Patrick Swayze in Ghost when he couldn't figure out how to move things. Again, it comes with learning, and they will eventually show themselves properly as well. And I think you're like everybody else and you don't like clowns. Would that make sense as well? They've just shown me the...
Yeah.
They just showed me an awful clown on Poltergeist and Pennywise as well, those sort of things.
Oh, yeah, I used to hide, my brother had a dummy, and I used to hide in the closet.
would you understand somebody who's like Mr. Spock as well, just like totally emotionless?
Mm-hmm.
But they have this side, which is an emotive side, but they choose not to use it. Because,
yeah
again... They need lessons more than anybody else in about, you know, expressing the love and the happiness that's somewhere deep in that stone-cold swinging brick called a heart. Basically, it's something they need to learn and understand, that when you give out love, you receive love. Simple things like that. Okay, do you want to chip in, Barbara?
Yeah, what I keep getting with you is that there is a profound energy power going on here within you, and like as Ray said, most of us doubt what we hear, and we can't believe that it really is spirit talking to us. It does feel as though you're often at that place in time where you really can't believe you're getting the message you're getting, and so you just think it's your imagination. Well, in reality, it is spirit talking to you. And that's a place, by the way, everybody has been. And you're looking...
Really.
Yeah. I can imagine. You've been asking for a sign, and I keep hearing, what the heck does she want, a billboard? it is sort of, you know, they don't send us telegrams, so that the subtle messages have been coming to you over and over and over and over and over again, and you seem to be not catching them. And yet, when you're trying to help someone else see something, you're meticulous. You have to apply it to yourself first, and you have to be able to recognize the subtleties as they flow to you, because that's how you sort of attach yourself to the flow of energy that is giving the message to you to give to someone else. So trust in the flow and don't think so much. You're analyzing way too much. You can take the magic out of something by trying to dissemble it and understand it. Let the magic happen. Let the magic be there. And do understand that when you are getting these subtle messages, that it's the universe trying to give you confirmation that indeed you are getting messages. It's really cool. You're getting them all over the place. Why don't you sit down, and why don't you, as they occur within the day, why don't you journal them down and at night kind of go over all of the subtleties that you think perhaps are from spirit.
Subtleties is a good word, because I'm just cramming in too much.
Yeah, and don't analyze them. Just take a look and say, wow, that was really, really cool. I know that there have been times in my life when I really wanted to hear something about someone who was in spirit that was close to me or dear to me. And if I sat down and if I really was quiet and if I really rethought the day, I would recognize that there was music that played on the radio that couldn't possibly be, you know, in the top, 20,000. It was a song or a piece of music that so directly related to the person that I was thinking about that it had to be spirit. And there were things that would come on the television, or I would stumble across something or a picture or something like that. There are so many subtle things that are happening that you know the universe is trying to give you the damn message, and you're just not listening.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So
you've got talent
and you've got all sorts of wonderful magic here, but you know, find some friends who are great guinea pigs and practice on them, and they'll be brutal with you, so don't worry. when you say to somebody who's a good friend, I want to practice my mediumship, they'll all chip in and sit there, and they'll all be honest with you. They'll be absolutely brutal, but they'll do it with love and laughter, so it's a great way to practice.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Before you disappear,
Before
you disappear, can I ask about a set of keys?
Yeah, I have.
You understand has there been a problem with a set of keys? That's all I need to know. It's almost, has there been a fit in a car, set of car, you know, for car fob? You know, the alarm set. Has there been a problem with one of those just recently?
Yeah.
Okay, I just needed to get to prove that we're working with the right things, because I've got like a desk full of car keys at the moment, and they're all literally arrows pointing towards them. Yeah, ask her about those.
We
really have to move on here.
Thank you,
Brittany. You're going to have to promise to come back, because we're not anyway near going to get to all these people, and you know, otherwise, if you don't come back again sometime soon, they're going to...
I'll come back, yes. It's just timing more than anything else.
Well, I'll make it real easy on you. You just tell me when you can come back, and I'll throw a show up.
Well, I... Personally,
You don't have to do it now. But you tell me what works for you.
Sunday afternoons on UK time, 5 o'clock, are brilliant for me.
I normally have fairs, but there are probably a couple of. There are probably Sundays that I could. 5 o'clock your time would be what time my time?
Possibly midday, something like that.
Okay.
Are you 5 hours behind or six hours behind? What time
okay.
is it?
Well,
what time is it in the States now?
I'm 20 minutes to six. Well, we'll figure this out. I will just get you back here, not to worry.
Yeah.
Right now we have to go on.
Yes.
Okay, we've got Sherry in Virginia. Hi, Sherry. How's it going today?
Hi, Barbara. Doing good, thank you.
Good. How can we help?
Well, you know, really, I just need some encouragement from Spirit. I'm missing them, and I'm not hearing them. So I could use some help from them. On my own part, I guess I've shut them down.
Well, I have to say that that you feel as though you've put a bubble around yourself.
Yeah.
And it feels as though, and please don't take offense at the wording of this because it's not meant to in any way be a nasty one, but it feels as though you are feeling there's a pity party going on here. And,
yes,
and
there
I think,
is.
And you know something? I think it's a great party. Now, your refreshments suck, but it's a good party. And I do feel that I understand how that there is great upset here and great sadness here, but at the same time, I feel it's the party's been going on for a while, and there is a spirit here that is saying, tell her to put her big girl panties on and get on with life.
Yes, that's what I've been trying to tell myself.
Okay. Now, with all due respect, and I understand, it feels like it's really deep grief. It really does. I know that there is a big hurt here. But I also know one of the best ways to let the healing process begin is to find the laughter in your life. And you've put that on the shelf and locked the cupboard door. So let's bring the laughter back in. Spirits on the other side are saying enough. And have you lost somebody very close to you?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I just never gave myself time to grieve for them.
Okay.
Both parents and a pet.
Okay. Well, you've done them great honor in the amount of grieving that you've done. Basically, though, both parents, right?
Yeah.
I got to tell you that they're having an amazing party on the other side.
I'm sure they are.
And to be perfectly honest, you are throwing a damper on it because they feel a little guilty that they're having such a good time and you're sitting there being miserable. You weren't invited to their party. That's no. A sad thing. But how long ago did they go?
Oh, it's right now off the bat. I want to say it's probably been 10 years or more. 10 for one and a little more for another.
Okay, well, much as you may feel like an orphan, you're not. And you haven't lost anybody. They're just not there present physically with you at this moment in time. And they both love you very much. And it's they are a bit confused that this is going on at this particular point in time. I suspect it's not just this. You've just piled everything that is sad in one pile and decided to mourn it all at once.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's probably it.
And you're doing a great job.
Thank
you. Really
you
are.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say that as mourning goes, holy crap, you could have a career here. Have you thought about being a griever?
No.
You know, they used to hire out people to be grievers at funerals to impress the public.
Yeah, since I've done it most of my life, I think that was my role. So
you're really good at it. But you also have an amazing sense of humor, and your laughter is, your father is saying your laughter is amazing. It just, it lights up a room. So unless you have found a job to be a professional griever, I think it's time you got on with life.
Okay.
You know how to do that?
Well, I think that's where I'm stuck. I seem to be stuck in this area at the moment.
Okay. Well, I can give you some suggestions. I first of all, let's find some groups that you can, you know, go and do things with that are fun. Let's schedule some things in. And by the way, you will not feel like doing any of the things at all the first two times you go, and then you'll get hooked on it, and then you'll have fun.
Okay.
So let's look for things that have in the past given you pleasure, whether it's reading books, whether it's doing things as groups, whether it's doing crafts, whether it's singing, whether it's going to church. Don't go to church because that'll make you sad. I'm not saying don't go to church, you know, but no, don't go to church for solace, because you'll just break down in tears there, and then everybody will feel sorry for you, and you'll, again, become the professional mourner. But I want you to volunteer. I want you to find places where you can volunteer and help other people. And again, you will not feel like doing any of this stuff, but do it anyhow and push yourself, because after the first month of forcing yourself to do things for the first, you know, at least three or four times a week, you will find that you look forward to it, that there is, you have a capacity for empathy that is amazing. And to be honest with you, I don't really want to put you in any situation where you would be empathetic with somebody who is going through sadness, because you just sit and cry with them, and that's not what I'm looking for. Go see funny movies. You have wonderful friends who have kind of given up the ghost on you because you have the sadness in you so much. But do get out there and start doing things that are fun. Do things that you've never done before. Go line dancing. Do crazy things. And you will find that in a month's time you will feel better and things will start to move for you. Ray, you want to add in here?
I do, yes, because I've had somebody, you know, they're really singing songs with me tonight. And one of the songs I got, and it's from A Man in Spirit. So I'm edging on father, grandfather with this one as well. And he's singing She Wears Red Feathers in a Hula Hula Skirt. And it's Mitch Miller. So please say you know who it is.
I have no idea, but the first person I'm thinking of would be my dad's dad.
Right. Well, I won't, because he commented on Barbara, and I apologize for this, Barbara. And he turned around and he said, boy, can she talk. And I'm going with what Barbara said anyway, but this gentleman would have been like that. He would have been straight in, oh my god, she can give it that air, and it's that sort of thing. And he's got this I would have said there would have been an army connection with him anyway, a definite army connection. But
it might be my mom's dad then, because he's quite
verbose in his attitude. He's quite funny as well, because it's sort of, you know, that sarcasm sort of way thing as well. I think the Hula Hula Skirt links in there as well, the song, because that links into probably when he was alive, and probably a song he liked or type of music he liked more than anything else, because it was fun. But it's also it's sort of this cigar chewing GI type as well that I'm trying to get round at the moment. But the stereotypical one you see in the war movies with the hat on and the actual things hanging down the side and all the rest of them and slightly unshaven, and but them looking like a rock and, you know, doing the job they had to do. And this is what he's saying to you: you should be doing the job you have to do, not the job you think you have to do. And part of the job is having a laugh at daft things, like Barbara says there as well. But he doesn't want you to be, he wants you to be more outward anyway, and more thinking, more talking than thinking, or more doing than thinking, which will fit in with everything Barbara said as well. So if you can recognize this gentleman, please, he's tickled me tonight.
Yeah, it's I've got a box full of pictures I just got from my brother. I bet you he's in there. So yeah. I'll find him.
If I want a character reference, because sometimes I use images from the TV. I don't know if you watch The Big Bang Theory at all, do you?
Ah, okay.
Right, there's Howard's father-in-law, Howard Wolowitz's father-in-law. It'll be, I can't remember the name of the character's dad, but that's the sort of stereotypical guy I've got with him.
Okay.
So if you can Google him, and you'll understand where I'm with, what the picture I've got. Okay.
Tough military.
Yeah, it's just that. Geez, man, you can talk.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And it looks like I've got my homework on digging out these pictures and looking up Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. And remember, it's just the father-in-law, Howard Wolowitz's father-in-law. I don't know what to call it after. Okay.
I can't remember her name either.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you know, kind of, you know, stop, you know, sell your stock in Kleenex and let's get on with life.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Okay, golly, I know what that feels like. You get in that kind of a loop and it's really hard to get out of.
Yeah.
All right, we got Lucy in New York. Hi, Lucy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
How can we help you?
I would like to know advice of what's going on with the work, what Spirit wants to tell me.
What is it you currently are doing?
I do auditing. But I am an auditor, internal auditor.
Auditor. Is that correct, auditor?
Yes, internal auditor.
Yeah.
But then I got a review and it wasn't so great. And I don't know why, what Spirit wants to tell me.
I get a feeling here that there is a lot of reorganization going on, and I feel that it may well be time for you to move on to a new job. I would start looking. I'm not saying that they are going to fire you, but I am saying that with the reorganization, they may ask you to do something different than you have been doing, and you might be more comfortable in finding a new job. But I don't think, again, I do not believe that they are going to fire you. I believe that probably by the time you get to the April timeframe, there will be a new job here for you if you put yourself out there and look. I don't feel that the evaluation was fair, but I think that nobody's evaluation was fair. I don't think that they are singling you out. I think they are doing it to everybody. And that they do want to sort of pare down, and giving people bad reviews is one way of setting them up for at some point in time being let go if it's necessary. Ray, what are you getting?
I'm actually not picking up anything at the moment with her. I'm just not picking up anything. I've tried looking around. I'm seeing lots of colours. That's about it at the moment around you. And maybe it's just an upliftment thing for yourself, a self-worth thing to believe in the colours. Would you understand seeing colours as you go to sleep on a night time? Please.
No.
When you close your eyes, rather than just see a black image in front of you, do you understand seeing colours floating around you?
Sometimes, but I do clean the house energetically.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I do clean the house energetically and with the...
Okay, well, I just want to... I think you need to... Probably why I'm not picking up is you're blocking yourself out as regards the possibilities of yourself, worrying too much that, you know, things are going to change. And I think with all things with you, things will always change for the better. So if things do get bad where you are, you know, where you move on, it'll be better for you and be more uplifting as well. Could I ask, is there a partner in spirit?
Is an apartment?
A partner, or, you know, a somebody who you're in a relationship with.
Oh, a partner. No, it's okay. A friend, but then I'm single. I don't have really a partner.
Right,
I don't really like him anymore. I like him like a person, but I don't like him like a relationship, and not in a relationship with anybody.
Okay, I'm just wondering where I was with that partner in spirit, that's all. But I would go for any, you know, you're blocking your own upliftment more than anything else, your own belief in yourself. So I think with like the last lady, you've just got to step out and say, it doesn't matter if things change, because they'll always change for the better. And just believing that in yourself as well. Because sometimes, mm-hmm. I mean, we where I work, there's been a lot of change going on, and we think, you know, we have to be a lot harder on ourselves. We have to be a lot more strict about the job we're doing. But again, we're covering our own backs to a certain degree. So, you know, there's that worry about the future. But if I changed my job tomorrow, if I went and became the full-time medium, which I should be doing, instead of the semi-professional, I have 100% belief that I could make a very good living out of it, and, you know, to the level of what I'm doing at the moment, which shouldn't be any problem. But again, I just need the belief in that. I know if I step out my normality or that situation into a new situation, it'll work out. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no trouble whatsoever. But again, because you're set in a routine, you think, oh no, change. And you need to break down that psychological barrier within yourself that change is good. It's not always negative. So change, any change you do see will be a good positive step for you more than anything else.
And I have the miracle, I have the essence of miracles here for you. So I think this next year is going to be one that is really full of miracles happening for you and with you, and you will be set free from a lot of the restrictions you put on yourself.
Yeah, I was asking for a promotion, and I got to a bad review. I was praying for a promotion. I say, oh, my God. I think the worst is because I work from home. I don't have to travel to the office every day anymore for like 4 years. Then that's the part of my career that I don't want to leave, because everything is through the computer and through the phone. And everything is emails and decisions. Then that's the part that I don't want to let go.
Well, I would look around and see what else is out there. You may find something that's even better than what you've got now.
Then everything is, okay, that's wonderful, wonderful news.
Okay, yes. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, you too, for such a wonderful work. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Bye-bye
now.
Blessings.
And blessings to you as well.
Wow. Well, we didn't get through everybody, but we got through a lot of people, so I am delighted. And it, as always, the 2 hours just flew. So,
it does. My head's absolutely bouncing at the moment, and I have to be back up to work.
Well, I have to eat something greasy to pull myself down off the ceiling as well. So it's nice that is a shared feeling. We'll have to get together and compare our calendars. I want to thank you so much, because I know it's much later in the evening over there than it is here.
Yes.
And, you know, we'll get together, compare calendars, and see when next you can grace us with your presence, because you are an absolute joy to work with.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Oh, you kidding me? Thank you. You made it such a wonderful time. And I know that the people that got readings absolutely feel so very blessed that they were able to get in the queue early enough to have the honor of you actually sharing their energy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a bit out of it at the moment. But thank you. Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. I enjoy doing this. It's nice to branch out a little bit. It's nice to actually try that little experiment as well. With the,
that was cool. Voice. That was really cool.
And sometimes you've got to believe. You've just got to go out there and do stuff. You can
guarantee
the next time I do it, won't work.
you know, I think it's important, too, for, you know, everybody to realize that we continue to grow and we continue to stretch and we continue to try new things just like they do. So, you know, we can't expect them to go outside the box if we're not willing to do it ourselves.
That's right, yes. So I need to get off now, and I need my ugly sleep because I'm far too good looking to go out on the street. And
I love your humility. Well, thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon. Good night now.
Thank you very much for having me.
You were lovely. It was lovely to be had too. Goodbye. I want to thank everybody. It's been so much fun. Jeannie and I have had a great time. Well, Jeannie's worked really hard, so I don't know if she's had a good time or not, but I had a great time. So please join us again on Wednesday, and James will be here with us. And thank you so much for being here today. Bye-bye now.